comes to a head this morning and next week. In fact, I don't have the sermon made for next week, but next week to me, as I'm planning ahead, and it all comes to a head next week in God's second speech. But his first speech to Job is absolutely amazing. So here, I'd love to have you look, because we're not going to read all those chapters. God speaks in Job 38 and all of 39. There's not a word other than God's. And then the first couple verses of chapter 40. And then Job makes his first reply in Job 40, verses 3 through 5. That Job's first reply. So you get the context here. God speaks. And when he speaks, he thunders. He thunders from the storm. But anyway, let's put the next one up, John. And what do you, I have a couple things. I'm going to go through this fairly quickly, the first part here. What might you expect to happen when God finally addresses Job? The whole book has been rolling around on that thing. Job suffers. We know why he suffers. We know why. God gave Satan the freedom to just beat the soup out of this godly man. Just beat him up. Big time. We don't have to go over it again. If you don't know the story, read chapter 1 and 2. And Job wants to know why. His friends come, don't answer the question. Their theology is off base. And Job maintains his integrity, though he tries to justify himself. We saw that last week. What do you think is going to happen when God finally speaks? He's going to address Job. Ponder that in your own mind. And I've got a couple suggestions. And none of these suggestions are per se wrong. So don't, when I put them up, don't think, well, that's just, pastor's just trying to be cute. I'm not. Don't stand up here and preach God's gospel and be cute. I don't mind having you smile once in a while because of the joy of the Lord, but not cute. Here's the first one. Do you think God is going to, when God comes, maybe God will be the divine cheerleader? Why not? Actually, well just there. Hooray for you, Job! I got a bit of a heart problem, so I can't do any cheerleading here. But you persevere, Job. Way to go. Way to go, Job. Way to go. Makes sense, right? I mean, he silenced Satan, Job did, by his integrity to may not curse God. Wouldn't God say, I am so, so proud of you, Job? Now, as I say that, please don't think God does not do that. In fact, a couple verses here, just we're very fast. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. It's like, yeah, I care for you. I'm like a cheerleader. But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. So God is, cheers us on. And I could throw in many other verses in the Bible where God is in some ways the divine cheerleader. Put your faith in me. You can be encouraged. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. And so we go in faith. God is in that sense. But that's not how he comes to Job. How about this one? God as the divine apologist. I'm so sorry, Job, that you had to suffer. You didn't know what was going on. You didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. Trinity CRC people did, because I put it in my book. But you didn't, Job. You didn't know about the wager between Satan and me. I'm so sorry you had to go through it, Job. But you went through it, Job. And again, I don't want you to think that God as a divine apologist isn't part of Scripture. It is. There are places where God comes and as an apologist. But here I submit to you is the one how God comes. And this might shock you. So tie your seatbelt. Here it is. God comes to Job as the divine mocker. He mocks Job. I'll explain it. Well, you see it in a few minutes when we get to the text here. Very quickly, soon. I hope you're not offended by that. Let me just unfold it a little bit more, and then we'll see it in the text. Folks, God is not at our beck and call. Job, you got to answer me, God. God doesn't respond for a long time. God is not at our beck and call. Lord, I've got cancer. Well, contextualize it. I've got some heart problem, Lord. You got to heal me. Lord, my loved one is in trouble. You must rescue. Lord, I need answers now. And then it's not hard if we do it that way. You soon have God in a box. Now, God does answer all his children's prayers. But God, I tell you what I'm going to do, John. I'm going to jump through those next two. Just jump right through those. And go to Job 38. And here you see it. Here you see it. And I want you to see as God mocking Job. I'm only going to read a few of these places, so if you have your Bibles open, you can see it. And then we're going to Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of a storm. I don't have a lot of time here, but you know, when Elijah was down, and Elijah was he was suicidal, in fact, God spoke to him, not out of the storm, not out of the fire, not out of the wind. He spoke in a still, small voice. And I don't know why. I don't know why God spoke to Elijah out of a still, small voice when he was in a cave. But to Job, he thunders from the storm. I don't know. I don't know. I don't care. The thing is, God speaks. But look at how God, as the divine mocker, if you will, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, Job, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand so much. Can you see? You know, again, the divine mocking, not in a sinful way, because God is doing it, but putting Job square in his place. And let me just... I love a few of these, and I'm just going to give you a taste of them. In fact, it was just a good little trivia question. We just seen the mighty storm, Hurricane Matthew. What is it that stops the waves? Now, don't just say God or something. What is it that God built into his creation that stops the waves? Isn't it interesting? Not with a hurricane, of course, because that's abnormal. What is it that stops the waves? The answer is the sand, right? The sand, the seashore. Look what God says. Were you there? In verse, I've got to find it myself. Verse 11, verse 8 says, you shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb. And then jump down to verse 11. When I said to the sea, this far and no further. No further than what? Than the sand on the beach. You see these mighty waves. They hit the sand. Were you there, Job? Were you there? Were you there? And I also love the one where God says, and I do this with a bit of humor in verse with the, where's the one I should about the donkey. Were you there? Come on, I had it here. Where's the donkey? Somebody see the donkey in there? 39 verse 5. 39. Oh, I got to wait with my donkey then. Well, I'll just 39 verse 5, I'll do it. There, 39 verse 5, because that's when we get a little, actually, were you there with the wild donkey go free? He laughs. I like that. Verse 7 of chapter 30. He laughs at the commotion in the town. I gave him the wasteland as his home. He does not hear the driver shout. It's a little bit, when I read that, I thought, you know, there's a little bit like my relatives in Montana. They say to me, Gil, what are you doing? You grew up on this big ranch in Montana. What are you doing in a city of 2 million people? What are you doing in the city where there's flashing lights and sirens and people and traffic, and my relatives are, oh, they're free like a donkey. They don't have to worry about long lines and all that. And my response always, some of you know my response. Gil, why are my relatives, why are you in the city? And I say, it's where the people are. That's where the people are. And the people need to hear the gospel. So God challenges Job. God challenges Job, and then he does it and he takes Job on a trip. Put the next one up, John. And God takes Job to three places and fires one question after another at him. Were you there? Were you there, Job? Come on, answer me if you're so smart. Were you there when I did this and this and that? And here I'm going to textualize it. The first place in chapter 38 where God takes Job, and we'll just put it with St. Louis. The first place God takes Job is the St. Louis IMAX. And you'll see that in chapter 38, it's almost like a three-dimension. You're riding on a three-dimension, and you're in that IMAX. And if you've been in IMAX, what amazing experience it is to be to see. Oh, wow! You know, and Job is in the IMAX, and he's seeing. Here's the land down below you. Here's the clouds. Here's all the sea and the land and and all of this stuff is right before him. And were you there, Job? Were you there as he goes through the IMAX presentation of God's earth? But then it doesn't take so long after he's been with the IMAX, God says, I'm not finished with you yet, Job. And then the very second place God takes Job, the very second place, and it's is toward the end of chapter 38, is into the St. Louis Planetarium. Look up, Job. Look up. Tell me if you were there when I made the moon and the stars and I put Pleiades in its place and the planets. Were you there, Job? Come on, answer me if you're so smart, Job. Were you there when the weather patterns and the seasons and the planets, were you, Job? And then the third place God takes Job, and that's where I was a little ahead of myself, and the third place God takes Job is what's left, the planetarium and the IMAX. Where else are you going to go? You're going to take it to the, he takes Job to the St. Louis Zoo. With the donkey, that's where I should have pulled the donkey, but my favorite one is that one right there, because it reads with almost humor, and yet is so good. Just listen to it. In chapter 39, verse 13, this is just so good. Job, listen. The wings of the ostrich flap joyfully, but they can't compare to the pinions and feathers of the stork. And still back, I think, with the ostrich. She lays her eggs on the ground and lets them warm in the sand, unmindful that a foot may crush them, that some wild animal may trample them. She treats her young harshly as if they were not hers. She cares not that her labor was in vain. And then this great verse 17, for God did not endow her with wisdom. Look at that little brain the ostrich has in there. Or give her a share of good sense. And then look at the humor from the Lord's mouth. Yet, when she spreads her feathers to run, she laughs at the horse and the rider. They can't compete with her. A stupid bird. And yet when she runs, the horse and the rider, oh, it's so good. It's so good. The zoo. God takes Job all these places. One question after another, 64,000, I don't know how many questions, I didn't add them all up, but $64,000 questions, so to speak, like the old TV program. And then in verse, chapter 40, God's first speech ends. The Lord said to Job, you see him in divine mocking all the way through. Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. And now you see Job's reply. Then Job answered the Lord, I am unworthy. I really zero in now, folks, because this is Okay, enough said. I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, and I will say no more. That's all Job says. That's all Job says. I put my hand over my mouth. And here's where I want to, I hope, pray to God that I can make this point stick with you and you can see it. Put the next one up, John, and then I want to submit to you, this is 100% conjecture on my part. Conjecture just means I'm guessing, sort of. If the book of Job had ended at verse 5 of chapter 40, we would have Job, I put my hand over my mouth, I spoke once, I will speak no more. If the book of Job had ended here, we would still have, here's my conjecture, we would still have some of the greatest literature that has ever been written in the history of mankind, studied at universities, the book of Job. We would have people studying this and see the dialogue and all of that stuff that goes on. We would have it. But if the book of Job had ended here, I submit to you, here's my conjecture, it would not have been part of this book. Ponder that one. It would not have been part of the 66 books that make up the Holy Scripture. It wouldn't. What we would have if the book of Job had ended here with Job, I spoke once and I'm going to shut up. We would have this. We would have Christianity with God so awesome, God so great, His creation so fantastic, that the only thing we do is, oh yeah, yeah, you're God and I'm not. And I'm not mocking that. That's not where the Bible goes. I mean, that's part of it. God's awesome creation, where we, oh, wow. We ought to have that when we go to the IMAX, the zoo, and we don't need that. In everyday life, 1,000 gifts. 1,000 gifts of thankful to God. But if the book had ended there, I'm going to make this point again, it would not have been part of this book. Because the book goes on. That's why I say to you next week, like I said, I don't have a word written yet for the sermon, but next week is the greatest sermon in some ways of all. Not because it's me preaching it, but because we get to why this book of Job is in the Bible.